Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2. What? Check, check, check. Good. I just wanted to explain to you all and to those that are internet, we had some schedule changes. So now your prayer class is going to be first on Mondays. Then second year students, the next period, you're going to have Dr. Montrell. First year students will have me. That's be our Alliance of Honorable Men class. And what does Dr. Montrell teach to the second year? Church Unusual. All right. And then first year, second year, you're going to have us for 2 straight hours because we're going to swap. All right. So we'll be swapping back and forth. So internet, take note of that. On Tuesday nights, it will be the same, except Apostle will be first. Drs. Walker and Phillips will be second period. Then the third period will be Brother Calhoun, who was teaching second year Spirit of Honor. Right. And I introduce to you tomorrow our new instructor who's been on the team for a while now, Dr. David Cowan, and he'll be teaching Culture of Honor. But I introduce him tomorrow night to you all. So, again, remember your classes on Monday nights now are going to be prayer first. Then it's going to be the first year, Alliance of Honor Men, second year, Church Unusual. Then the last period is going to be first year, Living by the Book, right? And second year is going to be Spirit Life Training. So it's really not going to be any different with the last period. And on Tuesday nights, nothing changed but the last hour. It's going to be Apostle first, then Drs. Walker, and Drs. Walker to the first year, right? Right? And then Dr. Phillip to the second year for the second period. Then third period will be Reverend Calhoun, who is teaching Spirit of Honor. And it'll be Dr. Cowan that'll be teaching Culture of Honor. All right, so I just wanted to take a few minutes to explain to you the changes that are being made so you won't get thrown, tossed from one class to the other. This is going to be set. This is what we're doing. And so this change will be permanent, all right? Y'all have a good class tonight. Thank you all.
Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. First and second year here. Oh, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Might be a little bit turkey, huh? Might be still a little turkey. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and we'll pray. Amen. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you honor and glory and praise and blessing and thanksgiving, Lord God. You are so good, Father, and you've been so good to us, Lord God. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you right now for this school, Lord God. Thank you for the apostolic, and thank you, Lord God, most of all for our apostle, that you've given him, Lord God, this vision to minister to ministers. We thank you, Lord God, for every instructor. We thank you for every student. We thank you for their homes and their families. Lord God, we especially thank you for those online students, Lord God, who are watching and participating right now. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We invite you. We welcome you. We ask you to unfold, to reveal, to demonstrate, oh my God, to illuminate. Yes, the word of God unto us. Thank you, Lord God, that we're becoming skillful in prayer. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I can't discuss anything about the exam because it doesn't close until 11:59 tonight. Okay. But if anybody has any burning questions that they really, really want to ask, you can just write it down and we can take care of it next week. There was one student who sent me an email regarding, I think their system going down in the middle of the test. I did find out that person, if you're, well, yeah, hopefully you're watching, you can contact Miss Deidre. And explain what happened, and then she can make any accommodations that are necessary for you. I will also answer your email probably tomorrow. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's see where we are here. our last session, okay, and I'm aware that some of you may not have books tonight, but that's okay. Just go ahead and just take your notes, and then when you get home, just check your book and, you know, do your underlines like you always do. It's a very, very short chapter that we're going to be covering, but you know it never ends up being short in here. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. I'm looking at 40 minutes or that's correct? Okay. Amen. On our last session, I think what I left off with, and it was talking about spiritual gifts, and I was explaining that we're at another level and that you're praying, and you can begin to expect that as you pray, God is going to begin to speak to you. And what we need to recognize is that sometimes the gifts of the Spirit, you know, they're in operation as you're praying. And I just gave you just a little bit of information because it's a big subject. It's a long subject talking about spiritual gifts. And I said that there are sometimes revelation gifts, if you will remember that, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. There are power gifts, faith or special faith, we call it, working of miracles, gifts of healings, and then the vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And all of these operate as the Spirit wills. And, oh, wow, that's one of the questions, huh? I just realized that. Okay, but it's as the Spirit wills, okay? And it can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's move on. All right. Now, our next chapter should have been chapter 12. I think it's prayer and the promise. Amen? We're not going to do the promise right now. And the reason for that is that Mr. Bounds, like I told you, this is like 7 books all in one. There are other chapters where he talks about prayer and the promise. We're going to do all of those together. So what I'm going to do tonight, we will go ahead and we will do prayer and the word. Amen. Which would be chapter 13. Online students, we're going to be doing book 2, chapter 13, prayer and the word of God. Amen. Amen. And we're just going to be talking about the importance. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. You know, there are some people who think, well, if I read the Bible, I don't need to pray. No, no, no. Okay. You must study your Bible, but you must also pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you're not going to pray effectively if you don't read the Bible. Amen? Because you got to know what God has said in order for you to be able to pray an effective prayer. Amen? Yeah. All right. Mr. Bounds begins with 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And that verse says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Amen? He says, prayer means the success of the preaching of the word, you know, meaning that if the word that is preached or the word that is being taught is going to be successful, then the people who are hearing it need to be praying. Amen. So that you can receive it. Prayer opens the way for the word of God to run without hindrance. We never think about that, you know, because remember, now we've been talking a little bit about spiritual warfare and how the enemy is standing there and he's resisting ministers. Well, he's also resisting us. He doesn't want us to hear. He doesn't want us to see. He doesn't want us to understand. Okay, prayer opens the way for the word of God to run without hindrance. It creates the atmosphere that is favorable for the word to accomplish its purpose. Amen? Prayer creates the atmosphere that is favorable for the word to accomplish its purpose. One of the things I always like to explain to students here at Word of Life Christian Center, and this has been going on, you know, long before I came here, there is prayer meeting before every service for 30 minutes. Prayer meeting before every service. And that's, it's twofold. Not only are we praying, you know, for our apostle, but we're also praying for ourselves. We're creating the atmosphere for the word of God to go forth unhindered and unchecked. You know, one of the words that apostle gave us some months ago, and he says, we're going to pray for harmonious conditions, agreeable surroundings, and the best of everything. Amen. You know, so when you're praying for that, you're creating that atmosphere, you're creating that environment for the word of God to have free course. You know, you want to be able to hear, you want to be able to understand. You know, so often, you know, individuals go to church, and they're going to church for the sake of going to church. You know, they're not really hearing. They're there. The body is there, but they have parked. Amen. And what we want is to be good receivers. Good receivers. Mr. Bounds says prayer greatly helps the word of God, because what we're doing, especially when we pray in the spirit, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Amen. So your spirit man is being charged. It's being built up and built up to hear, to believe, to receive the word of God. Amen. Mr. Bound talks about, and we all have heard of it, the parable of the sower. Amen. It was strange that he didn't give us any verses. He just said the parable of the sower. Amen. But you may want to put these in your notes. It can be found Mark 4, verses 1 through 20, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23, and Luke 8, 4 through 15. Amen. Now tonight, we're going to look at it. I'm going to need you to turn. You know, sometimes I ask you all to read because I want you to participate. But tonight what we're going to do, maybe I'll start off and I'll let you know. We're going to look at the one in Mark 4. That's the one I'm most familiar with. Because believe it or not, for a long time, I thought this was just talking about just sowing. You know what I'm saying? Sowing. But Mr. Bounds says, this is about hearing. Amen. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it as we read it. It's all about hearing. So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude. Y'all got it? I'm sorry. Y'all got it? Okay. A great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, see, he's beginning to teach them now. There went out a sower to sow. A sower went to sow. Amen. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Verse 9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now let's put a peg there. He's talking to us also. Amen. Unto us it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see. Wait, I'm sorry. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? I mean, if you don't know this one, how you gonna know anything else? Amen. The sower, so he's gonna explain it. That's what he's doing now. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, Apostle explained, you know, to us, I think it's over in Matthew 13. It says that they did not understand. Amen. So, you know, that's how the enemy was able to come and snatch it from him, because they did not understand what it was that they had heard. Amen. Verse 16, and these are they likewise, which are stone on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen? And again, you know, Mr. Bounds is saying that this is all about hearing. He says, he makes a statement, the wayside hearers are many. There are many, many people who hear it. Amen? And then immediately the enemy come and he just take it away. He says, the parable of the sower is a notable study of preaching. Okay? The word, and this is what I got when I was preparing for this. The word is going forth. Amen? Same word. The seed, the word is the seed. The same good seed is going forth. Amen? And the difference is in how the people are hearing. Amen? Not everybody is hearing what is being preached, what is being taught. And, you know, one of the main reasons what we're learning in this lesson is they're not praying. Amen? You're going to find out that they are not praying, and so that's why they're not hearing. And if they're not hearing, they're not able to receive. Amen? The parable of the sower, like I said, is a notable study of preaching, showing its differing effects and describing the diversity of hearers. Amen? Diversity of hearers. The soil lies unprepared, either by previous thought or unprepared by prayer. Amen? If only the hearers would prepare the ground of their hearts beforehand by prayer and meditation, much of the current sowing would be fruitful. Amen? It would be fruitful, meaning it will produce, you know? Apostle is always urging us, encouraging us, get the tapes. Read your notes. Go over the notes. You got to hear this more than one time. And, you know, I can testify. You do not hear the first time. And, you know, and I find myself saying, I was there. I was there, and I didn't hear that. And sometimes it's so important. It's crucial. It was something I needed to hear. But, you know, we have blockers. Remember that the enemy is there. He does not want us to hear. Amen. And so we have to prepare ourselves as much as we can to be able to hear when the word is going forth. The minister is the sower. They sow in the word. They are sowing the word. I had to pull some other scriptures in here, just talking about the word. Mr. Bounds, he's going to talk a little bit about Psalm 119. The only thing that we know about Psalm 119 is it's the longest chapter in the Bible. I've forgotten 100 and how many, anybody know 100 and how many verses? I mean, it is long. But what Apostle had us do once, he came out and he says, I want you to read it, I want you to study it, I want you to meditate it, and I want you to underline every time you see a reference to the Word of God. Okay, do you know I had to underline almost every verse? Mr. Bounds says that there are probably 3 or 4 verses that does not have a reference to the Word of God. You know, that's how important the writer felt that, you know, talking about the word and explaining the word was. Amen? Now, Mr. Bound goes on. Let's see. He says the stony ground. Okay, so that was the wayside. And I've forgotten the other one here. But then he says the stony ground or the thorny ground, although the word lodges in their hearts and begins to sprout, yet all is lost. Why? Chiefly because there is no prayer and no watchfulness or cultivation following. Meaning, you know, they didn't pray before. Amen. They took their notes. They were frantically taking notes during the service. But they got home. They left the notes in the car. Or they put the notes on the table till next week when they go back to church. Amen. Well, no, you're not going to get it like that. It's not going to get in there. That word that was sown, I mean, I don't care how good it was. I don't care how anointed the man or the woman of God was. The word was good. They did their job. Amen. But it's up to us to pray and meditate and study that word until we can get that word down in our spirits. Amen. It is so important because that's how the word is going to become fruitful. That's how we're going to begin to see manifestations and demonstrations. Amen. Now, you know, usually when something is going on, you know, we'll get busy. You let a little test, a little trial, you know, come up and we find out, oh, yeah, we're going to pray. We're going to study the word of God. And like I told you, you know, one of the things I recently experienced was, I mean, the enemy is relentless. He is really relentless. He does not give up. You know, he does not stop. And what you have to do, you have to stay in the word of God. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep it before your eyes. The Bible says faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The minute you let go of that word, he's coming right in there. I'll be honest with you. He's going to start messing with you. He's going to start deceiving you. Remember, we've been learning about that. You know, he's let me see, Mr. Bounds said he's vicious. You know, we got to know our enemy. We got to know how he operates. And we have to become wise. Wise. So, you know, when we see him coming, oh, I know that's you. You know, you're not getting in here. But, you know, it's all prayer, meditation, study of the word of God. Then our author, he says, the good ground hearers are profited by the sowing simply because their minds have been prepared for the reception of the seed. Amen? They prayed. And so that's why, you know, I mean, Apostle knew this years ago. You know, he didn't have to wait for Mr. Bounds to tell him. You know, he knew this because prayer has been such an integral part of this congregation. You know, from way, way, way back, praying before service. We pray. Amen. And it's good prayer when we're preparing ourselves. He says, the good ground hearers are profited by the sowing simply because their minds have been prepared for the reception of the seed. After hearing, they have cultivated the seed sown hearts by the exercise of prayer. Amen. By the exercise of prayer. Then we look over in Luke chapter 18. Okay, those of you who came in late, we understand you probably, you may not have your books. We understand. Just follow. We are book 2, chapter 13, prayer and the word. Okay, Luke 8:18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Isn't that something? Yeah, take heed, therefore, how you hear. How you hearing? How you hearing? Pay close attention. Are you sure you're hearing? Amen. Are you spending time in prayer or meditating? In order that we can heed how we hear, we must give ourselves, our author says, continually to prayer. It's not going to be like a little one-time thing, you know, continually giving yourself to prayer. We have to believe that the success effect of God's word depends on prayer. In Isaiah 55 and 11, it says, I'm trying to see, do I want y'all to look at that? Let's look at it. Isaiah 55 and 11. If you have your books, it's in the book. But if not, your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, your tablet. We have to believe that the success and effect of God's word depend on prayer. Isaiah 55 and 11, it says, "How shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth? It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen. Talking about the word of God. Now, I got a little peck here. Turn to Numbers 23. These are some things. Like I told you, okay, I had some scriptures for you. This is not in your book. Numbers 23. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to tell y'all some of my secrets. This is a verse that I have been sitting with. Remember I told y'all how I was sitting with Ephesians 1 and 3 for such a long time, and then one morning our apostle just came up and he says, "It's already done," and I could see it. Well, I'm waiting right now for him to come with this. Another one that I've been sitting with, and I've got some revelation on it. I really do. It was exciting. It was like, oh my God, I see that. But I think it's more. And I think, you know, only an apostle is going to be able to give it to me the way I think God is trying to explain it. Amen. And so I'm just waiting. He always does. He always comes out. Amen. Numbers 23 and 19. Now, you got to know a little background about this. And I think I've talked about Balaam and Balak before. Balaam was the prophet and I think was the king or whoever he was over this region. And he called a prophet. He says, "I want you to curse these Israelites." You know, and he took him here and he took him there. And he said, I need you to curse them. Well, God had already talked to Balaam and told him, you know, "You can't do anything unless I tell you to do it. Anything unless I tell you to say it." You know, this is the same prophet that the jackass had to speak to, you know, because he didn't see. He didn't see the angel standing there with them swords about to cut his head off, you know. So here we are, Balaam and Balak. And so Balaam, instead of, you know, the Israelites, he blessed them. Amen. And so now he's explaining to Balak, look, let me tell you something about this God. Amen. Verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, And shall he not make it good? Amen. Verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Mm-hmm. Y'all see that? Yeah, you know. He says, he has blessed, meaning God has blessed. And when God has blessed, nobody can reverse it. Amen? Amen. Nobody. Then in verse 21, he says, now this is real good to me. I mean, this is even Old Testament. He says, he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. You know, he haven't seen it. Didn't say that wasn't iniquity. He says he hadn't seen it. Amen. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Lord, his God is with him. You see that? And the shout of a king is among them. I said, oh my God, God is not a man. Amen. He is God. He is Almighty. And when he says something, you know, when God goes forth, you have to know that all of heaven is in the word, back in the word, to make it bring forth, to make it become fruitful and to multiply. You know, when God says something, that's it. And I think what it is, I don't know. I think we believe the word. I really believe that. I believe we believe the word. And, you know, if we believe the word, then why aren't we seeing more of the benefits? And you know, I know I'm getting into the promises now, but it's of what the word has promised us. You know, and I know faith has something to do with it. And, you know, I talk in this class about head faith and heart faith. Well, second year students remember that. You know, you can mentally agree it's possible here without agreeing here. It's something blocking, something stopping here. Amen. And so, you know, you have to just stay with the word until that word becomes alive on the inside of you. You know, just stay with it. The more, just like I'm doing with that verse, right? What I'm doing. I mean, this is a verse that I read every day, and every day I'm asking the Lord, you know, what are you saying to me? You know, what is it that you want me to see in this verse? And then I use what they call an open study Bible at home. I've been using one for years. And this morning I'm going to read like the little note at the bottom. And they were talking about the difference between, I don't know if I'm going to get the second one. I know it was revelation, could have been inspiration and illumination. And what they were saying was how illumination was. I always thought revelation was the most important. But he was saying that illumination, when you receive, when God gives you by his Holy Spirit, enlightenment on the word, then you're ready to put that word into action in your life. Asking for illumination. You know, I have been asking for wisdom, asking for revelation. And then I say, oh, okay, well, Lord, I need you to illuminate this. Let me see this so that I can understand it and put it into action in my life. Amen. Because that's what we all want. That's just how God is. And we have to always remember God is saying this. Amen. And God is not a man. He is saying this. Amen. All right. The author refers to Psalm 19. He says, David, a lot of scriptures here tonight. I'm sorry about that. David magnified the word of God and God in six statements concerning God's word in Psalm 19. So let's turn to Psalm 19. And just be glad I didn't say Psalm 119. But he does talk about 119, and we're gonna get to it. Psalm 19, and I was trying to figure, okay, we'll start at the beginning. Because there is a section that the author talks about from verses 12 to 14. And I have that in my notes. But let's go on. Psalm 19. Now, in my little Bible, it says the words of God. That's what the little, that's what the topic is. The works and words of God. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end. Look at that, their words. See, that, there it is right there, huh? Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law, now when you see that word law, talking about the word, the law of the Lord, he says, is what? It's perfect. Amen. Converting the soul. Look at what it can do. Convert the soul. The testimony, again, it's talking about the word. So when you see the word law, you see the word testimony, making wise the simple. Isn't that something? The statutes, again, talking about the word of the Lord, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment, talking about the word of the Lord, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, talking about the word of the Lord, are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honey. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Look at that. We are warned through the word of God. We are warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Amen? Great reward when you keep the word of God. Who can understand his errors? Now, this is pretty good. You know, he goes into to prayer here. He's asking God to do something for him. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I ain't told nobody about this. Amen. Between you and God. You know, you can do between you and God. Secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He says here, remember Mr. Brown says that David magnified God in six statements concerning his word. Amen. One, the word converts the soul. We saw that. The word makes wise the simple. The word rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, endures eternally, is true and righteous altogether. Amen. The word of God, our author says, it is perfect, it is sure, it is right, it is pure. It is heart searching. It searches the heart. And at the same time it's searching the heart, it can also purify. Amen. Purify. This is not in our, I gotta make a note of it so when I put it on the quiz. All right. Because, you know, if I don't have it written, then when I get home, it get cold on me too, you know. It really gets cold. It's like, oh, man, what did I say? What verses? What verses did we read? Most people are very familiar with this, but we're looking at this verse now in the context of prayer and the word. Amen. John 6:63. In my notes for y'all to look at it. Okay, and it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, in my Bible, it's in red. So that means Jesus is saying this, okay? Jesus says, it is the spirit, amen. The flesh profited nothing. But then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We're talking about how important the word of God is, amen? And we're talking about prayer and the word. God has power to search the inner nature of man and its deep purity. And we just saw that in Psalm 19, 12, verses 12 through 14. That was the part that says, who can understand his errors? And then he talks about, cleanse thou me from secret faults, sumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all of this, we're still talking about the word to prayer. In James 1:21, we see the saving power of the word in this exhortation. James writes, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and receive with meekness the engrafted word, look at this, which is able to save your souls. Amen. The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then he says in 1 Peter 1:23, Peter speaks along being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, born again by the word of God. Do you see that? Which liveth and abideth forever. And then in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, he talks about growing in sincere milk of the word. Y'all remember hearing that? Let's see, 1 Peter 2:2. And the verse, I'm almost there. He says, as one babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen? That ye may grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Think about growing spiritually. Amen? He says, prayer invariably the word of God. When you pray, it generates a love for the word of God. Prayer leads people. Now, this is Mr. Bounds, our author. He's saying these. Prayer leads people to obey the word of God and puts a joy unspeakable. I wonder what happens to a disobedient heart. No joy, huh? No joy. He says, praying people and Bible reading people are the same sort of folks. Amen. Who read the Bible are the same kind of folks. Amen. He says the God of the Bible and the God of prayer are one. Amen. That's good. Now, this is what got me. The author's man in the Bible. Man speaks to God in prayer. Wow. See that? Yeah. I mean, I thought that was real good. I mean, I got a little star by that one. I was like, oh, man. And it's true. Prayer is not a monologue, but prayer is a dialogue. Remember? And, you know, God is speaking to us through his word, the Bible. Amen. And then we turn around and we take that same Bible word and talk back to God in prayer. Amen. And this is what really, really, really what happens is that when you're giving it back to him through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're being illuminated. You know what I'm saying? Because when we read the word, we have to understand peeling it. You know, you gotta peel it. That there are many, many layers to the word of God. And it's not what you see that you get here. You have to sit with it and have God, you know, through the precious Holy Spirit, talk to you about what it is. Remember, I said, I have been sitting with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I had on my own turned that thing around and confessed it and read it and said it and was doing it. When God read it, prayed about it. When God began, remember now he's at that other level, though, remember that. Then God could tell him, it's already done. And when he said it, it's like, I see that now. Now I see it, you know? Yeah. And you see, and this is the way, oh my, he has hidden things for his children in the Word of God. And, you know, it is not hidden from us, remember that, but it's hidden for us. Amen? You got to understand, he did it that way. And he says again, reminded us again, if they only knew who Jesus was. See, oh my, Jesus was hidden. You know, he was hidden. And he revealed himself only to some. Right. He didn't reveal himself to everybody. I found a scripture that says, my life is hid. My life. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Oh my God, that is so good. Now this is not in the book either. We're talking about how God has hidden things in his word. Amen. And I made a statement. My life is hidden. You can't see the real me. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is getting bad. People see who we really are, who God has really designed. It's hidden. Amen. And remember when I told you how the book was written and that we have to discover it? You know what God has said about us?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we have to discover it through prayer, through study, through meditation. And then God built you really up. Okay, Colossians. Oh my. Oh my. I used to say things like, and when I grow up. And when I grow up, and what I really, really mean is when God begins to reveal this to me, who I really am. Who I really am. For real. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, my. Okay, in Colossians chapter 3, I wasn't going to let y'all get there here to me. Verse 3. Colossians 3 and 3. Let's read it together. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. It is hidden. It is hidden. Amen. Not everybody can see it. We have to discover it. Isn't that good? Ain't that good? Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. Okay, we talked about the praying. God speaks to man. The Bible speaks to God in prayer. One reads the Bible to discover God's will. Oh, my gosh. We read the Bible to find out about God's will. Amen. Then one prays in order to receive power. To discover the will, and then you pray so that you can get the power to do the will. Mm-hmm. Bible reading and praying are the distinguishing traits of those who strive to know God and to please God. Amen. We'll continue here. We'll pick up. I'm not going to go any further. We'll pick it up next week. Remember, it is book 2, chapter 13. Prayer and the Word. And then we will come back to prayer and the promises, but we'll tie it in. I think it's in book 3. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Enjoy the rest of your classes.